When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to betfredsports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to another Cobras and Fire interview. My name is Baco, and today we're going to do something we rarely do, and that's talk to a member of Boba Flex. They are back with a new album, Eloquent Demons, out August 25th, so depending on when you hear this, you can either buy it or you can anticipate buying it, but there are no other options, because when I say they are back big. Eloquent Demons is quite possibly their best record yet. I want to spin it a few more times before I put the crown on it, but man, I have had so many rock chubs listening to it. It comes out on August 25th, so depending on when you are listening to this, you can either buy it or you can anticipate buying it. There are no other options, people. Buy this damn record. It's that good, and you'll be sending some money right to the band. So download it, buy the physical copy or whatever, and then go stream it. Look at the stream as kind of a tip. One of you fine listeners made that analogy on our Facebook page, and I absolutely love it. So until the music industry figures out a way to give some of the streaming pile of cash to the actual artists and sustain art for the next generation and the generation after that, this is a way we can take matters into our own hand. Buy the record, then go stream it at all you want, and they'll get those little pennies and things of that nature, but it'll be more like a little bit, you know, extra after they cooked your meal. Well, I talked to Sean McCoy about that. We talk about so many other things, of course. It's a Cobras and Fire interview, so it is from left to right. We are all over the place. There is too many highlights for me to name any of them. I hope you enjoy it. It's always fun to talk to the very eloquent and very, I don't know, talkative Sean McCoy. Enjoy.
Hey you, out there on your own, sitting naked by the phone, would you touch me? Hey you, with your ear against the wall, waiting for someone to call out, would you touch me? Hey you, would you help me to carry the stone? I'm coming home.
This is Baco. I'm here with Sean McCoy of Boba Flex, of course. Sean, how is your evening going?
Good, man. Good. I just played a club that was attached to a giant comic book action figure store, and I'm the big geek in the band, and
of course
you get vinyl there and crazy old action figures I didn't even know existed. I didn't know they made action figures to the movie Steel, that crappy movie of Shaquille O'Neal where he was like a superhero. So that was kind of a gas. And they have a club attached to it, and a stage and a big PA, and you can drink and go back and forth and listen to music or look at old vinyl and, you know, old Star Wars figures. I mean, the place was huge and had all kinds of crazy novelty stuff, man. It was really fun and different.
Seriously, it's like a comic book, record store, bar club, and you can take alcohol everywhere?
Yeah, man, that's the coolest part.
What? Now, I mean, do you have to be 21 to get in to look at the comics, or?
Yeah, it was all ages.
Okay, all right. Well, I was doing a little digging on the internet tonight, and I came across this weird article. You know, you may not recall, but we've actually talked a time or two before, but I didn't know this. You tell me if this is accurate. It said that at one point you went by Sean Beaver McCoy. Is that correct?
No, that's not true.
Yeah, what the hell is that? I was like, Beaver?
Some old guy in the band that was kicked out 13, 14 years ago, a long time ago. Put some weird Wikipedia thing up. Not accurate at all. Just made a bunch of wacky stuff up. So, nope, never been called that.
Never. Okay, well, I don't know if I'm happy. I'm happy or bummed to hear about that. I'm not sure. Well, the last time we talked, Sean, we actually had a pretty good, solid conversation. And when we posted it online, Brave Words picked it up and they went with the headline, Sean McCoy thinks Kiss should redo Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. I don't know if you recall that part of our conversation because it was such
a small.
Okay. Because literally I just said, I think they should do it. And you're like, I do too, and that was it. And then, like, there's all this other really cool nuggets of, like, music industry stuff. We kind of got deep in a lot of fun stuff, and we traded a few funny stories, and that was the freaking headline they went with.
Hey, if you ever want to get off subject, just call me. We'll go to other places.
Oh, yeah. I'm all for it. You're clearly a big Kiss fan. Oh, by the way, I wanted to give you an update on the, because I have a petition that I started back then to get that movie remade with the current band, and I'm not kidding you, we just passed 100 signatures about a week ago. So it took a year to get 100 signatures. Yeah. Now, if we get to 100,000, the White House has to actually comment. Now, wouldn't it be cool if this White House actually commented on that?
That would be. At the shakeup, I think it would go big league if you made it.
Oh, my Lord.
Big league.
It would definitely be big league. Or it might end up sad. Who knows? Oh, my Lord. Well, before I get too far into anything, I do have to mention one thing. Like I said, I've talked to you. This will be my second time with you. I've interviewed your brother twice. And the guy that I do the podcast with, we live in different states, so that's why we do the interviews separately. But he's the reason I have such a Bobaflex boner, whatever you want to call it. The reason I have an obsession with your band. One of the first podcasts we did, he played a song by one of you guys. One of your guys' songs, is what I'm trying to say. Jesus Christ. Anyway, I got hooked. And I just want to say, hopefully the next time you talk to one of us, it's him, because he's very intuitive and he's a really good speaker, and he can orate words better than I can, apparently. So
you're doing fine so far, man. I understand everything.
Yeah, no, his name is Lewis Cannon. And yeah, he did actually catch up with you guys in Denver. Oh, just about, a month or two ago, he ended up, you weren't around, I think, after the show, but he caught up with Marty a little bit, but it wasn't nothing.
Yeah, Marty's in the phase I was a few years ago. He parties and drinks all night, talks to everybody, and I used to go to bed after the show, wake up, and go to the gym, so we're in two different phases. Now he's Mr. Mobile Flex with the party and talking to everybody at the show, and sometimes I do, man, but mostly I'm pretty quiet.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, man. I mean, I always found you chatty when we talked, but yeah, you know, you gotta bide your time. Plus, you get out there and you're always nice and you look good. You're in shape and you're clearly taking care of yourself. So,
yeah, you got to, man. You want to keep doing this, man. It's sad when people do it for a while and they start looking bad on stage and everybody talks.
Yeah, well. You're
I always think it's unfair when like an artist like Vince Neil is 60, you know, that's like, man, he's close to my dad's age. Of course the guy's fat. He's a grandpa.
Yeah, you know what?
1982.
I think there's other things. If you want to pick on him, there's better things to go after, but yeah.
Sure.
But no, yeah, I'm with you. He's still a rock star. He's still got that star power. Well, you mentioned that like you like to get up and work out, so you guys are still doing that Planet Fitness thing in the road?
Man, it's great, and a lot of the bands are turned on to it, man. You know, the guys that don't work out, it showers every day. They're with the bus, man, unless we go to a campground on our day off. But pretty much every day, no hotels. We got our own kitchen. We spend nothing on hotels.
Right on. Yeah, because you stay in that little traveling little. Now, do you guys own that or do you rent it? The RV.
Oh no, we own it. We renovated it, cleaned it out, tore it out, tore the metal out, and put 9 bunks in this RV. So we've done some modifications. We got 2 TVs, so you can rock 2 video games at one time, or someone can watch a movie. And so it's laid out pretty sweet. It's been such a good vehicle, and we've modified it so much on the inside that, you know, we get up close to 250,000 miles. I'm just buying a new engine and putting it, the V10 Ford. So we're just going to put a new engine in it, man, and move forward because, you know, the amount of time it took to tear everything out and build the bunks, we had to move the bathroom. It was a crazy thing, man. It took about 2 weeks for the band and then another 2 weeks for the crew moving the bathroom. So, you know, I'm pretty happy the way it's set up. And instead of buying a whole new RV, I'm just buying a new engine and training. Hell with it.
So now, like, if I'm understanding you right, now when you want to watch Rhinestone, everybody else in the RV or bus can go to a different part of the bus.
Yeah, well, they can go on the other TV and play video games. They're pretty much subjected to Sylvester Stallone's masterpiece, Rhinestone. We'll have to listen to every single line.
Have you had that out on this tour?
No, actually, my daughter and I watched it for the second time at home. But now that you mentioned it, we got 4 days off before our big headliner and release for Eloquent Demons. We're back home for like 4 days, so I believe... I need to bring it back out and torture souls with it.
I think that's a good move. I've actually watched it once since we talked. And, like, I can't understand why he watches this damn movie.
I mean, it's so bad. It's just like I'm fascinated with the fact that Stallone thought he was being funny. And, I mean, God, it's awful. So awful, I love it. It's like it's fascinating. It got made. I mean, at some point in the production, halfway through, the director or someone had to go, "This sucks."
Oh yeah,
this is not good.
We talk about that on the podcast all the time, whether it be an album cover, a certain song, or just anything. It's like, is nobody willing to just stand up, raise their hand, and go, "No"? but
right,
like, well,
if I was Stallone's agent, I would have said just the concept alone. Like, I don't know if you're cut out for slapstick comedy or any comedy.
Yeah. That said, I don't think it hurt his career too much.
No, it didn't. But if he had, like, maybe Richard Pryor as a sidekick or, you know, Joe Piscopo at the time or whoever was a hot comedian, Eddie Murphy, maybe it could have been funny.
Yeah.
But him as the main source of humor, no.
Well, with that in mind, you clearly think about these things. If you were in charge of remaking Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park, and the only criteria you had to meet was you had to make it with the current band, what kind of, is there any like ideas or changes you would want to do, or?
That's a good question. Why they're just doing a concert in the park, and then man, that's a tough one too, because it's kind of so bad it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I still watch it at least a couple times a year. Probably that's my Rhinestone to yours.
I would
but
say my change would be instead of just Ace Frehley being dubbed, the entire cast is dubbed by someone else.
I actually, you know what I thought would be funny is if like Eric Singer was overdubbed by Peter Criss.
There we go.
Because Peter was the one who was overdubbed in the movie. Yeah.
Now, when Ace talks, though, that's how Ace talks anyway.
No, no. No, that's actually Ace's voice in the movie. It's Peter that was overdubbed.
Oh, okay. I gotta
it's just that all Ace's lines are like, "Ack! Curly!" And, you know, like, because they didn't follow. Oh, my Lord.
His book was pretty good, man.
Oh, yeah, it was. I loved all their books, to be honest. Actually,
yeah, I just read Paul's.
Gene's sucked.
It was great.
But Peter's.
I like Gene's because I love the intro when he said, is love more important than money? If an Ethiopian woman loves her baby, but she doesn't have the money to feed it till it dies, is. I was like, what a sick bastard.
Oh, my Lord.
I guess you're right, Gene. Money is more important than love.
I mentioned we just ran in, we went to see you guys a couple nights ago. Now, my wife, God bless her, she's actually compared, like, how you hug to Marty, and anytime she gets to meet one of you guys, she's the yin to my yang on these things, by the way. But,
cool.
So she comes along on all this stuff, and she gets to meet you guys, but she has this very natural motherly reaction. She wants to feed and clothe everybody. And when
that's cool.
When we were coming, she was like, "We should bring them a gift." And I'm like, "What the hell are we gonna buy them?" So my question is, I wanted to do something practical. If somebody wanted to buy a band, any band, not just you, like, what's a practical gift for a band that's kind of
for
touring?
A band? No band will complain if you buy a bottle of liquor.
Okay, that's what I thought too. But that's not really like that practical. What about like gas money or something?
No, I mean, that could work. I mean, we put a list, our fan page that's run by a different person. He puts lists of what everybody likes, from Reese cups to Diet Coke. We had actually put out a bulletin to fans, because fans will bring us gifts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to tell certain fans, okay, listen, like duck-shaped cookies and homemade apple pie moonshine, which is terrible. It's not real moonshine. We just kept getting those two items. I mean, listen, we can't have giant cakes in the bus. It's fall. And if you want to help us out, get someone get through his paper towels, plastic forks, paper plates, Diet Coke.
Oh,
water,
there we go.
Lunch meat, wheat bread, real sustenance food of any kind will be appreciated, from chicken to... because we have our own stove, so if you bring raw chicken, or you bring a bunch of fried chicken, or I eat a lot of salad, broccoli, all that stuff's good, but when in doubt and you don't have time to think of something thoughtful, nobody will be upset by a bottle of liquor. That'll make put smiles all around. And that's not just my band, that's pretty much every band ever. If you can't think of anything else, just go spend $22 on Jack Daniels or Jägermeister, or Tito's Vodka, something like that, and you can't go wrong.
There you go, folks. You heard it right from one of the best in the business. So, what are you listening to right now? What kind of music are you playing when you get time?
Let's see here. Gosh, man, it varies. I like Baroness a lot. I like new stuff. They're really cool. Let's see. I think it's something old Kiss, generally.
Yeah, right on.
I'm getting burnt out on Pandora, because if you hit like, man, it just repeats the same 6-7 songs you like.
Oh, I fucking hate Pandora for that exact reason.
Yeah, I want a surprise when I'm at the gym or doing something, and lately we've done our new record, man, so. You know, I've been jonesing on it just because it got done. It's new, and I'm really excited about it, man.
And we're about to get into that, because I got a lot to talk about on that. But let me just touch. I actually stumbled across your first two records, Primitive Epic. Is that what it's called? Or
yep.
And what's the other one? Shoot.
Apologize for Nothing.
Apologize for Nothing. And I know a couple of these guys hung on a little bit later than that into a couple other records, but do you stay in touch with, like, Jared Macon or Mike Steele or Chris Grogan?
I just texted Jared the other day, and Marty just called Chris Grogan. I mean, we lightly talk to Mike Steele here and there. We hear about him, but we don't really talk to him much.
Okay. Is he the guy spreading the crap on Wikipedia?
No, that was a guy way back before the band ever recorded a song.
Oh, way back then.
So, but, yeah, man, I just talked to Jared literally 2 days ago. We stayed in touch, and we saw his baby while we were home after one gig, and Yeah, so we get along with all those guys, man.
Yeah, right on. And you actually stay pretty good on social media. I follow you on both. You actually tweeted, I think today, something about the older I get, the more I hate hearing nonsense. It's basically about people like copping out, saying like I was wasted, so that way I'm not responsible for what I did or something.
Right.
Yeah, I liked that. I liked it a lot because I assume you've made mistakes in your life that you've had to account for.
Like
all of us. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, exactly.
I was like, that was all me. My part. My bad part.
Yeah. Sometimes you fuck up and have to say sorry.
Yep.
Anyway, and also you are on Instagram. I see a lot of times you post like little lunches or something like that with your daughter. It's very cute.
Yep. They'll have one Sunday, man.
Yep. Right on.
It was a cool summer. It was like I was home, but I wasn't. I was working on a record. But I was home, and, I even took her to rehearsal this summer and the studio. She got to say a cryptic line on a song, so that was really cool.
Which song?
It's called Reckless on the new record.
Yeah, the last song.
Yep.
Right on.
That's her voice right in the beginning.
Kick ass. Well, let's get into it. Again, the last time we talked, you were leaning more towards like an EP or maybe just dumping some songs out digitally. You guys hadn't really fleshed out what you were going to do next after Anything That Moves. At what point did it change that it was going to be a full record? Was it before Hey You or after?
I personally had a lot of choruses and, we got as many done as we could. And I want to do an EP because it's smart financially. It's the way to go these days. The band that killed me, I'm like, well, what if a velociraptor eats the band? And these other four songs never get finished. So, I really think about that. I'm like, man, let's write this one. Let's write that one. And I don't want to shortchange the fans. While we have it with the name, Eloquent Demons, okay, that sounds like an album to me. And I just felt like, man, let's give them something to listen to. Especially if Hey You was on it. We only recorded maybe 4 to 5 more songs. I'm like, they already got Hey You. I just like rip off, and I just like albums. And we had the material, and I said, well, let's just see what we can get away with. And we came together and rehearsed our butts off and took some skeletons and made them human. And it all worked out in the end, and we have enough to make a record, man. I'm happy. It just kills me to make an EP. I'm like, 5 songs? Why?
Yeah, I mean, but that's that's the passion side of you, right? Like the business side is like because EPs or whatever.
Yeah, it makes more sense. It's been easier mentally, stress wise, financially. Oh, it all makes sense. But man, I wonder because I heard that name Eloquent Demons. I'm like, it's not rounded out yet. We need more songs and go different places. So I'm real happy with it, man.
So that came that Eloquent Demons was something you came up with, or?
Yes, yeah, I came up with the title and management. Forced an August 25th release.
Yes, an August 25th release.
A big club, a big Newport Music Hall wanted that date if it was going to be a show. There was no negotiating. They based it on them, and this was in May.
Okay.
And we had pieces of the songs, and I wanted to choke my manager, Doug Weber, who's great. I said, man, it might not be ready. We don't know. Because if we were going to postpone it, there might have been 13, 14 songs if we would have made it maybe in October. But, that became the date, so we made kind of a, Black Sabbath-length album.
I love the length of the record. I love I love so many things about it that we'll get into. The title's great. The album cover is amazing. Who did that?
Kyle Hotz. He's a pretty well-known comic book artist from Columbus. And I think Billy the Kid is his main thing. I think he's done Hellboy. He's done all kinds of stuff. And he's always at Comic-Con, and he's a big name, man. And I knew of him. He was a friend of me on Facebook, and I just asked him, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, sure. And he's a fan of the band. And, I thought it would cost, $5,000-$10,000. I didn't know. So it was pretty reasonable. Man, he just kicked butt at it. I told him the concept, a bunch of demons toasting, in a study.
Yeah, and it's like maybe each one of you as a demon. And
yeah, man, and I gave him the idea. Tommy's kind of an octopus guy. Yeah. So kind of Cthulhu. And man, he just killed it and got our likenesses, and I had just floored by his work. He's an unbelievable artist.
Agreed, 100%. I love the album cover, man. This record hits on so many levels. There was a couple things at the beginning of Anything That Moves that really just grabbed me, especially the opener. But I'll be honest, it kind of fell a little flat for me. This record all the way through is amazing.
Thank you.
It is just, I was worried because like you guys did it so quick, and like, you know, and if I look at it now, it's like, well, one of the songs is the Hey You cover, which I knew was coming, and the opening track is just a speaking part. But my Lord, this is perfect. You listen to it from beginning to end, you feel like you're listening to a record. It is so good,
right,
Sean? It really
Thank
is.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
And I did
we
myself.
To,
I just want to say one last thing to kiss your ass. I did myself a favor by not buying the Hey You single. I saw you guys play it back in February, and I've seen a couple live videos of it. But I heard the studio version for the first time when I heard it on this record. And then now hearing it in the way it was sequenced in here, it really fit, and it was even better than I thought it would be.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah, kiss away.
Yeah. Yeah, so at the beginning there, the Eloquent Demons intro, who's that talking?
Me.
One of our own has worked his way to the business world and into the White House. We are the ones pulling the strings. Not Democrats, not Republicans, not me. The demons. So easily manipulated. Can you feel it? The age of the demon is upon them. A toast to enslaving humanity.
Seriously?
Yeah, we octaved my voice down to make it more demonic in the studio.
Yeah, I'm more impressed by the delivery. It's like, how many takes did it take you?
We just not very long. We kind of screwed around one evening, and I really obsessed about it and had three versions. And I wanted to do one where I was talking and English accent. I'm like, well, if I screw the English accent up, all our English fans will give me hell. So, and then so I kind of took pieces of each one, and then we chopped a bunch out. It was actually longer. I went into the history of how demons moved through the centuries, and it was more in-depth, and it was a little too long. I was like giving like a prologue to a book almost. It was
okay.
More serious in the beginning, and it was just too long and too much explaining, and I explained how they built a gate and how they were going to deal with the negativity from social media. It was pretty abstract. So we kind of chopped it up, and I kind of did some parts off the cuff, too.
Right,
and we just pieced it together, and it made sense. It totally made sense, and just cut the fat off of it, man, and made it more. The version we came with was a little more fun and satirical. Dark still, but, you know.
Oh, sure, but it kicks
fun,
the record off great. No, it's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then it goes into I Am a Nightmare, which is, I don't know, it doesn't quite have that start a war, kind of just kick you in the face mentality, but it's pretty damn close, and it's a great tune. There's a little bit of a trade-off kind of melodically as you go through the verses there.
Yeah, man, we just pulled it off for the first time tonight, because basically everyone sings the whole song. I'm the lead, but... You know, we wanted to, you know, a lot of fans say, how come we don't do the Queen stuff anymore? Queen, like, harmonies. And, so we thought, man, me too. I can bring that back. That's why the first verse, me and my brother thought, let's just drop the music out and do a four-part harmony right in the beginning of the record, like, Queen-like, about, you know, a futuristic assassin and completely off the wall and come Bubble Flex style. And, you know, well, super. It's my favorite track, personally.
Really?
And it's kind of a sequel to Spider in the Dark.
Oh, I can see that.
It even references Spider in the Dark in the second verse.
Explain that for me. Like how?
In the second verse, it says, I came to end this fight that I didn't start and kill the spiders in the dark.
I didn't catch it at all.
Yeah, I'm working on the book since college, and I brought it back. And a Spider in the Dark is, a lot of people don't know, you got a lot of, and it's cool. I want people to take different meanings. We want to keep it kind of vague in the song, but the philosophy of a future drug enforcer slash cult called the Spiders in the Dark, and character in my book called Wraith, which we don't address in the song. We just kind of, the first song is his philosophy about conquering and destroying people, and when it says I devour the higher ups, the secret is the higher ups devour, they literally are cannibals, and they eat their enemies out of intimidation, and they do it, they think they get power. It's kind of tribal in that sense, and they're feared. And the second song, I'm a Nightmare, is about an assassin. In the song, you know, we kind of keep it vague, but it tells the story. His mother was killed in front of him when he was a kid, and in the book, he's a lot more explanation, but he's an assassin called Reaper, that says, call me Reaper, in the pre-chorus.
Okay.
And he's on a mission to hunt down and kill the spiders in the dark, and that's what the song is about. I am a Nightmare. And I've been through hell. I saw his mom die. And then he's going to kill him on it. Says, I'll show you hell. In the chorus.
There you go. That's pretty deep, people, man. That is awesome.
Yeah. So we can't get to, we pretty much tell a story. And we also wanted lyrically, even though it's a rock song with kind of a Metallica beat, we wanted the lyrics to feel like a kind of a outlaw Western song. Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash fan. So it does say just before World War III, the first line, but as it goes, it's a tale of vengeance. And, you know, talking about putting their bodies in the ground and you know, a gun in his hand, and he's out to kill, you know, and show him hell. And so lyrically, a little bit, if you just read the lyrics, you know, it kind of echoes just kind of a cowboy vengeance song.
I didn't think it was possible, but you made me like the song more.
Cool, man. Awesome.
Now I'm going to go back and listen to it when we're done here. Jesus Christ. Long Time Coming was the video. I liked it a lot, but after I mean this as a compliment, after hearing the rest of the record, it's like one of my least favorite songs on the record.
Cool, man. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I know, because I was like, wow, what a strong song. And then, like, I hear the album. But say what you will, that and I Am a Nightmare and one of the other ones coming up are probably my favorites. Say what you will. How does that come into the picture?
Jimmy wrote the music and had it, I don't know, 6 months ago. So we kind of played with it and changed it around. And then Marty had the chorus, and then he was stumped on verses, and then it became kind of a song about relevant events, which we don't really do a lot, too much. And I was really, like, I thought, when I heard the chorus, I thought it was going to write about a relationship or something. So I wasn't that stoked about it. I mean, I was excited about the music, and then when I heard the vocals, and I went in and he said, no, you gotta go in and back me up and be deep and kind of, you know, a little Slipknot-y in the background vocals. He said, give me your hardest, and I had to go back in and do high vocals behind Marty. But man, once I heard the lyrics, man, I was like super excited. I'm like, man, I had no, because this is, you know, when you're writing on the fly and you're in a rehearsal space and you're trying to, you know, get the structure of the songs down, and you're writing lyrics together, but, you know, certain songs are more finished than others. So some of this album was in our heads, and we had an idea of what we were doing, and then the other guys came in and wrote harmonies, and so that song was a surprise to me as well in the studio. I'm like, man, this is some of my favorite lyrics my brother ever wrote. And it turned out great, man. I went in and heard the lyrics for the first time. I go, I'll go Axl Rose behind you on this one, and I'll go kind of deep behind on this one. We kind of chopped it up that way for the harmonies and just the vocal effects. Some of them are just octaves. And, man, you know, I was as pleasantly surprised as you, man. I was like, all right, this song rocks now.
Yeah, it really is amazing. The Off With Your Head track kind of reminded me of, I'm Glad You're Dead a little bit.
I wrote both songs. That's probably why.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, I wanted to do a ballad that was not a ballad like that. And, you know, social media, like the first line, how many pictures of your face you need to take. I thought people would relate to that. And seeing girls just saying they're going out, but it's just a picture of their face again. You'll look on their Instagram, and it's their face in about two different angles over and over and over and over and over and over. And you just scroll, and it's just their face nonstop. and it's like they're in love with their own image. And, you know, there was a period, too, before my current girlfriend, after me and my baby's mom split and the band was out touring, I just mowed through pretty girls and dated them for a month or two and then moved to the next. And, you know, the slightest thing that annoyed me, I just moved on to the next girl because I just really wasn't into a serious relationship. I was hanging out with my daughter a lot. And, you know, like, why'd you break up with her? She was hot. I'm like, eh, off with her head. Next. I felt like Henry.
So you kind of kept that in the back of your mind? And...
Yeah, that was in the past, around Hell of My Heart and Charlotte's Web. And, you know, it was a cool and fun phase, but that's how I felt. Like Henry VIII, you know, off with your head, on the next. And I just thought it was kind of a funny way of looking at you know, being shallow and dumping girls and being bored by a lot of people you date.
Well, the lyrics definitely come across that way. I'm not going to get into the relationship stuff with you. Hey, you, my question mainly with that is, were you guys thinking about doing that or starting to flesh that idea out before Disturbed ruined?
It was actually supposed to be a buffer between anything that moves and Eloquent Demons.
Oh, like just kind of something to throw out there?
Yeah, and then you know, we thought it had some radio potential. A radio program director really was pushing it, so we kind of did a video that wasn't planned and did all kinds of stuff for it. And then we thought, well, we'll just put it out in a physical copy and get it digitally. It'll be part of the record now.
But, you know, it came out, at least in my world, after Disturbed kind of did they kind of took your idea with that whole
with Demosonic, and that was my brother's thinking with it, was we need a new, if we're gonna do a big cover live, let's go ahead and move on to something else that we can make our own.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It kind of sucks they ruined that for you, because at least for the fans, because I know I always enjoyed seeing that, but I don't know, do you guys ever bring it back once in a while, Sound of Silence, or not?
No, we haven't played it for quite a while.
Yeah.
And some fans are pretty upset, but we're like, well, it's their thing, man. I don't want to come off like, you know, we're doing their thing now.
Exactly. I understand why, you know.
Like, you know, it became theirs.
Yeah.
Once they sold 8 billion copies of it.
Yeah, whatever. And you said your daughter is singing at the beginning of Reckless, and that would be one of my other tracks that just really stuck out on this record. I love it.
Which one's that again?
Reckless.
And thank you, man.
And you said it's your daughter singing at the beginning, right?
Yep, that's her at the beginning saying, why do you keep killing yourself? Yeah, man, I had that as a riff. I wrote it all on guitar, which is rare for me. Usually I write melodies and choruses, and I wrote all the riffs, and I was like, man, this song's got to go down. It wasn't 100% finished, and then right at the end, man, we got the verses done, and I'm real happy with it, and we really wanted to make sure we had memorable guitar riffs on this album.
Yeah, so do you play any other instruments besides guitar at all?
I dilly-dally on the keyboard just for melodies, but that's it for me, man.
When did you start singing, by the way?
Probably around 98.
Oh,
we had a couple other vocalists when my brother and I first formed an early version of the band, and a tattoo artist goes, why don't you click these other clowns out and you and your brother just sing? I'm like, you know, you're right.
Yeah.
So we kind of changed the dynamic of the band, and my brother and I started singing all the stuff, and, you know, it was a work in progress, and Jared joined the band, and we got a couple record deals, and it, what started out as something fun to do on the weekends while we were in college, we dropped out of college and it became a career, and we had no idea. If we would have known it would have been this serious and lasted this long, we would have probably took our name more seriously and thought of something a little more rock-oriented, or because I'm a big comic book geek, and we just changed both that. One said Flex, like, good enough, let's go play.
Yeah. I love the name, though.
In the 90s, too, it was, you know, we you know, before the real band started, it was kind of cool to do a pure alternative, to do like a pop culture joke name, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And people still do it. There's a John Cougar Concentration Camp, one of my favorites. So,
not to talk about myself, but my band's name is Jesus Chrysler, and we were founded in 98.
That's awesome.
So it's right in exactly what you were just saying. So just that ironic, stupid pun. Yeah, it really didn't serve us any better than you. Actually, much less better than you, because I go out and pay to see you.
Hell yeah, man.
Hey, by the way, I wanted to mention, I don't know, I've seen you guys five times in about the last 2 years, and I don't know if it was just a PA thing or things are starting to gel a little more, because like I said, I've never really seen a bad show, even the one that I knew you were sick. Dave's vocals really stuck out a couple nights ago. I don't know if that's an intentional thing, but I know he always sang. I just didn't really quite catch it, or maybe because I was usually working. This one was one that I just came as a fan, but it was
sometimes
cool.
It varies with the PA in the room, and sometimes certain pitches come out better in certain PAs, and it could be the room's concrete. We got a pretty good sound guy, Dave Bigelow, who's been with us since about 2008, so he's kind of like a sixth band member.
Mm-hmm.
And accents all the effects in the right parts, knows the albums by heart. So, man, he really, you know, that's a key element. He's been with us forever, man. So I put up with him playing first-person shooter games for about 8 hours a day after sound check and before sound check. It's annoying, but he's a good sound guy. He's been with us forever, so it's a small price to pay.
Yeah, in no way was I saying you guys ever sounded bad. It just really hit me that night. Like I said, you guys always sound really good. So,
thanks, man.
One of the tightest bands out there. Well, before I let you go, there's one thing that I am trying to get done. You ever heard of like actualized reality, where it's basically like if you want something, you just say it over and over again, and maybe it'll eventually become true?
Yeah, that's like what The Secret, that book's based on.
Yes, yes. So here's my actualized reality. Every time I write about you guys, anytime I have a chance to talk to you or anybody, and I'm going to broadcast it, I'm going to make this one statement that I think is something that definitely should be true, and that is, Bury Me With My Guns On should be one of those hard rock radio station staples that are just beat to death across the United States. That should be up there with some of these Disturbed and Godsmack songs that get played over and over again, like the ones that have been around for a decade. You know, that still get kind of a somewhat regular rotation. That song is just brilliant. It fits right in that genre. It hits all the guttural notes that everybody needs to hear that are attracted to those things. Like, not just the hardcore fan like me, like the more general populace. That song needs
absolutely
to be on every hard rock radio station once a day, everywhere.
I couldn't agree more.
I didn't think I'd get an argument from you, but that is my actualized reality.
And there are places where it's been played for, you know, 7 or 8 years straight, you know. There are definite places.
Yes, like pockets,
yeah,
though.
I could use the cash if they start playing it everywhere like that. You know, Coyote Ugly, and I thought the guy was feeding me a line. We were playing in Austin, Texas beside one. And he said, yeah, man, you know, they have a routine to your song and all the Coyote Uglies. I'm like, bullshit. And sure enough, he goes, come in tonight, 100 Girls Do It. He played with the jukebox, and they had a whole routine with six shooters and all that, you know, fake ones, you know, with their hands. And they had a whole routine. All the girls did a whole choreography to it. And he said, if you ask for Bury My Guns in London, they should know it in the Coyote Ugly.
Right on. And by the way, that's the world I want to live in, Sean, is a world where that is a truth. I want that reality everywhere, especially in Coyote Ugly. But, you know, we saw you in Oshkosh last summer, and, like, you know, I come from the Twin Cities, and none of the radio stations around here play it. And the closer we got to Oshkosh, there's one station. I can't remember what it was. Is it K? Maybe you know. What's the Wisconsin?
All of Wisconsin. stations play us nonstop.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my lord, I'm actually hearing Bobo Flex on the radio. And I just,
yep,
I don't know.
We're the Beatles of Wisconsin.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's the best thing I can say about Wisconsin is that they play Bobo Flex. Oh my lord. Any parting shots, any final words you'd like to say?
Liquid Demons, August 25th, buy it. It's on all forms of digital formats. And if you want a physical copy, come to the show. And then, yeah, man, that's it.
Is that the only way I'm going to get a physical copy is getting in at the show?
No, just hit management up and he should be able to take care of you.
Oh, no. I mean, I want to buy it. I already got the free digital copy for an advance.
Yeah, just go to our website or our Facebook, and it'll direct anybody else who wants a physical copy where they can order that.
Absolutely. So, yeah, definitely go out and buy it. I mean, because not everybody, I don't care what format anybody buys it, but we need to get I don't know, one last thing, I guess. We need to get more money from streaming to the artist, right? Until then, we want to, like, find a way to get people away from streaming? Or...
I mean, you know, if you stream it, great. I still get paid either way. And iTunes is, we made a lot of good money off of iTunes. And, you know, you buy the song, you own it, as opposed to streaming. But if they got to stream it on Spotify, they stream it on Spotify. Well, any way they want it, come get it. You
but
know, we make money from all of them.
There are three groups involved, and two of them are getting rich, and the one that isn't the artist, and I think that's got to change.
I think so, too.
I would assume you would. I've told you before, every time I've talked to you, I think what you do is really important, and it really matters, and it's not just because I like you. I think there's a lot of people like other bands that I don't care for as much that are also working very hard and doing a good job out there, and music is important, art is important, and the level of importance that we as a society put on art is a direct correlation in the type of society we have, so we should pay
Absolutely.
More attention
to it.
I
could agree more, man. We're out here pushing it.
And keep doing it, man, because, I couldn't appreciate it more. Like I said, my co-host, though, would be more happy if you didn't come to my neighborhood five times a year and he only sees you once every 4 years. But I'm not sure what you can do about that.
Where's that again?
Well, he lives in Denver now. He was in South Florida for the longest time.
Yeah, we'll be heading out to Denver soon, man. So tell him what's coming.
All right, man. I'll make sure he knows, man. He made sure I knew about this show. So, but of course, I would have found out either way. Sean, I stalk you guys.
Hell yeah, brother.
All right, man. You have a good night. Thank you so much for calling. And Eloquent Demons out next Friday, August 25th.
Yep.
Have a good night, man.
All right, brother. Thanks for everything, man.
Yeah! It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.